At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to MileHighHuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
There we go. All right. Welcome in. Welcome in. It is Tuesday evening, 6:03 Mountain Time. It's time for an episode of Building the Broncos. I am Nick Kendall and joined by, as always, on these Tuesday evening shows, Carl Dummler. Carl, how you doing? What's good? I see you wearing the sport coat today. What's going on? What's the vibe here?
Well, it's essentially, I forgot that light-colored shirts kind of make everything else dark. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I had in my office was this suit coat that's a little bit small. I feel like I'm on Tommy Boy and a big guy in little coat. This is my college suit that for some reason I have not gotten rid of and have that idea of maybe someday I'll fit back into it. You know, when I lose all that dad bod weight that I've put on over the years.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I kind of have been there as well. I've been recently wearing things that are a little bit looser, but I did hurt my shoulder. I don't know if my video is looking weird on your end, Carl, let me know. I feel a little choppy here. No, it looks good, and welcome in, everybody. It's a lot of fun to be here. I'm still dealing with that cold that I had last week, so bear with me as I, you know, suck on Ricolas and blow my nose, but we're here. I can't miss a good Tuesday evening show. Let's say hello to folks coming in here. We got David Youngkin. David, I think you might be in the hurricane path here, so I don't know what's going on, but I hope you are safe. Make sure you guys click the thumbs up on the way in. And he says, evening, everyone. Let's make it four in a row. Only thing I'm worried about is the injuries to our offense. Yeah, the offensive line, they're starting to add up now. Haven't seen, at least that I've seen today, dealing with stuff, but did not see a Palshetsky to the IR. McGlinchey's still a week away. Didn't see anything with Wattenberg to the IR. Bowles came back in, so I feel pretty good about that. But have you heard anything there?
I would say this is where you pay attention to their actions. Hmm. When they've signed two new guys on the offensive line, one a center, one a tackle, to the practice squad, it probably means that they're gearing up for the idea that they might have to bring them up to help out this Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Broncos bring back one of our favorites for when he was here, but an underrated performer, held his own, Cam Fleming, swing tackle guard and a useful piece, you know, still out there. So obviously considering the tackle quality in the league, the fact that he's still out there doesn't bode great for the Broncos, but you know, somebody who at least, you know, has a little bit of versatility and can do something out there. I do expect with that move that Palshetsky probably ends up on the IR at some point before, yep, probably before tomorrow. We did have the Broncos bring Cam Fleming. They elevated Bailey, linebacker, to the 53 as well. Those are the moves. If there's anything else, Carl, chat, you guys can let me know. But yeah, the injuries in the offensive line are really starting to add up. Nothing season ending, but two of your top, I guess three of your top four tackles when you include Quinn Bailey also, right? So it's starting to add up.
Yeah. There's one more move. They did add A.T. Perry, wide receiver. I think that happened here in the last about 20 minutes to the practice squad.
Baylor? Wake Forest?
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest. Okay. Yeah. I remember he was kind of a draft darling, but yeah, not amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people excited about it because he's big, he's strong, he's fast, and he had a lot of touchdowns in college. But
that make-believe offense at Wake Forest.
Yeah, he had a ton of drops. I think he had 17 drops over the final 2 years there at Wake Forest. Somebody who never drops the ball, David McElrath, coming in with a $2 saying, good evening, Broncos country, hashtag 10-7, hashtag let's go, Bo. David, you might be right on that 10-7 now. I mean, it's you just saw that today Saints are going to be without Derek Carr. So that Thursday night game becomes a little bit.
Probably without Derek Carr. It was not official. Okay. It was just Mike Garofalo tweeted it out. It's that Thursday game. Sorry to interrupt, but he said it looks like he will be out, but there's nothing official.
Okay. They said probably multiple games.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that one is on a short week, you know, that's a Thursday night game. I'm having my doubts that he's going to play. Now, who's going to play? I'm not sure. Do you really want to throw a rookie quarterback into having to play two games in 9 days against some very strong defenses? I'm not quite 100% sure on that. You know, obviously the Panthers not looking like a great team this year, probably fighting for a top five pick in the draft. And so this Chargers game, if you can win this one, I mean, that you got a chance to go on a real nice streak here of six straight for the Broncos. I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself. We're going to talk about the Chargers tonight. But yeah, Broncos, they're sitting pretty. They've won a couple games that people didn't expect. Winning against Tampa Bay, who many people have ranked in their top 10 in the power rankings. Winning against the Jets, who a lot of people had as Super Bowl darlings. And now they're kind of fluttering here, obviously, with everything happening today. So, yeah, the Broncos, they're in a good spot. And another person that's in a good spot is Michael Ronquillo coming in saying, good evening, Nick and Carl. I'm building the Broncos. Go, Bo Broncos. Michael, thank you so much for the stars there, and always good to see you, and go Michael.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Talk about fluttering, making my heart flutter, always seeing Michael in here. Appreciate you, Michael. Hope you're doing well out there in Tucson. We also got Cody W. coming in saying, I was looking at the quarterback stats. I think people are a little hard on Bo, taking in consideration the Jets game. His stats in the AFC rankings aren't bad for a rookie. I'm ready to, like, you know, the first eight games, they are what they are, as long as they're keeping their head above water. And after that, I'll start being a little bit more critical. But it's kind of hard because you have CJ Stroud last year, what Jaden Daniels has done so far, right? That's not typical. Right now, is Bo leaving yards on the field? Is he playing perfectly? No. In this last game, the Broncos had, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if their average starting field position in this game was one of the top five of any team in the league this season. With the punt returns and the after those first three drives, just how the defense stepped up. So short fields, not great on third downs, and some yards left on the field. But in the end, you know, did enough to get the win, didn't turn the ball over. And that's it depends on what the bar is, right? So you're talking about not bad for a rookie. Yeah, it's fine. It's not exceptional for a rookie. It might even be, you know, average for a rookie. But who you've played so far, where you're at, the questionable weapons on the perimeter. I mean, that seems to be an issue in the AFC in general. You go across the AFC, it's like this team could use another weapon. This team could use another weapon. This team could use another weapon. Overall, I mean, it's fine. Not too high, not too low. There's things to work on. And I think it's been, if you take the last 3 weeks combined, or, you know, toss out the Jets game, it's been a positive step. Hopefully that continues.
And I would say quarterback play this year has been some of the weirdest I've ever seen. Just some guys that you wouldn't expect to struggle. Patrick Mahomes. Do you know what his touchdown to interception ratio is right now?
Sorry, I keep muting because I'm coughing. No, I've not seen what it is.
It's 1-1. He has six touchdowns, six interceptions in five games. So he's not looking anything special. I would say at best he's looking like maybe 20 to 23rd best quarterback in the NFL. And nobody's talking about it because they're winning. Like you don't notice some of the issues on the team if they're 5-0.
Yeah.
And he's kind of been a little bit of the problem for them. Now, given they've had a ton of injuries to their weapons, I'm not trying to put it all on him. They've had guys dropping passes. I think his interception this last game was a drop pass by his receiver that fell into the arms of a defender. So he can't really put that on the quarterback. But still, he's made some uncharacteristic bad decisions that have been propped up by a great defense that's carrying them right now. And Bo's kind of in that same boat of he's made some bad mistakes. They've been able to win three games, even with him not playing perfect games by any means. You know, and that's the nice thing, that the Broncos are at a place, your quarterback doesn't have to be perfect to win. Yeah, I remember that. I just remember the 2013 season with Peyton Manning. Like, it was historic. It was great. But there was a lot of those games. Peyton Manning, if he made one mistake, Broncos are losing those games. You know, the Dallas Cowboys game. It became this battle of who, which quarterback's going to make that mistake. And thankfully, it was Romo. You know, but Peyton Manning, there's a couple games he had to throw 5-6 touchdowns just for us to win. And so right now, Bo isn't having to do that. Now, I got to give to him. He got the ball into the end zone when they got to the red zone. 3 touchdowns. I think they've gone 6 of their last 8 drives in the red zone have gone for touchdowns. So they're kind of getting some things going. But like you said, there's a lot that can still be cleaned up. There's a lot of plays were left on the field. There were guys wide open for big plays that Bo hit the check down. There's sometimes where he's leaving the pocket when it's completely clean because he just kind of gets a little antsy back there. And so I think that's a little bit of what Sean Payton was talking about, of him being like Ferris Bueller. Of, you know, there's times where he changes things that he shouldn't be changing, you know, trust the coaches to be doing their job. And then there's times where he's kind of improvising on the field when it doesn't need to be improvised. So DB94 is saying I'm a public defender. That was a career I definitely considered, lawyer, but a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, it's you probably wouldn't be doing the show with me if you were a lawyer. Not that, you know, I'm against lawyers, but maybe a little later nights in the office. Chase Wellner, go Carl and Nick, go Broncos. Always good to see you, Chase. Hope you're doing well. I see our guy Doug is in the house, pro 16K. Hope you're doing well. I know he's a big, Oregon Ducks fan as well as a Bo Nix fan, so the connection there makes sense. But Oregon versus Ohio State this week should be one heck of a matchup. That should be pretty fun. We got US Dave coming in and saying, yeehaw. Colin Wood, yeah, you lose to the Broncos and you get fired. It wasn't just that. It was the upset. What's the word I'm looking for here? How uncoordinated everything was. The Nathaniel Hackett stuff. I mean, it's just ownership group that's a little bit reactionary. You know, Woody Johnson, a little older there. The Jets have had pretty good defense. I don't think it's necessarily his fault that the offense is so bad. I mean, but it is his fault that they brought in, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, I believe. I mean, who knows? It's all weird with the Aaron Rodgers stuff there, but
yeah,
Robert Saleh will be fine. He'll be a defensive coordinator somewhere next year and maybe happy to get out of that New York mess.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was an easy scapegoat. You know, you're not going to fire Aaron Rodgers. You just paid him all this money, traded everything for him. And you're probably not going to fire his good buddy, Nathaniel Hackett, who he had a lot of influence in bringing him over. And so, yeah, it just kind of unfortunately fell at his feet, even though he's probably not the biggest problem there.
Yeah.
The Jets are just a disorganized organization and starts with ownership. You know, that they don't have great ownership there, that have made a lot of bad decisions over the years. And this is where you got to be thankful as a Broncos organization that we've got ownership that they get into things that they should be getting into and stay out of things that they shouldn't. Yeah. That's a good owner.
Put the money there, but elevate people to make decisions, football right. Decisions. Patrick coming in here says, aloha, boys. Things are looking up. Absolutely. When you got Patrick in here, our Lion Coffee supplier. Always good to see you, Patrick. Appreciate you. Hope you're doing well out there in Hawaii. Keith Holmes says, evening, fellas. I think an underrated stock up is George Payton on the Moss pick. I mean, it's too bad because obviously we lost Singleton for the year, but we'd have an opportunity to see what Drew Sanders could do maybe. It's a pretty crowded edge room, so not a spot for him at edge. But that draft, Mims not looking good. Moss looking good. Benito looking good. Greg Dulcich not looking good. I mean, it's one reason that you want more picks, right? Especially in the top 100, because that's about the hit rate you average, right? But Moss looks like a very good pick for the third round right now.
Yeah.
And he's been balling. Still a cornerback is a pretty volatile position. So the 5-game sample size is pretty good. I mean, he's been PFF loves him. They don't love Sertan for some reason. They did this week. I think you have to after that game, but he's been, Moss has been awesome. I think he's been, we talked about it last week, the most surprising player. Cornerback 2 has been a issue for Denver since who left first? Talib left Denver. right now you have, I mean, arguably one of the best 1-2-3s in the NFL at the, in the cornerback room. Granted, a lot of the weight is having maybe the best defensive player in football in Surtain. But yeah, no, George Payton, Vance Joseph, Sean Payton, if he was part of that evaluation process too for Moss. I mean, he talked about it a lot after they drafted him. Stock up. That looks like a heck of a pick right now. I'm really happy to see Iowa, a player from Iowa, actually stick at boundary corner and be pretty good. A lot of those guys end up slot or safety with how they play that scheme. So Moss looks like he's going to stick.
It's just so nice. He doesn't look lost ever on the field. You can tell he has incredible intelligence, spends a lot of time studying film. And, you know, like his interception was on a double move. And he just stayed right there the entire route. And he's a great tackler to help out in the run game. You know, the cornerbacks coming up and helping out has been a big difference on why the run defense has been so much better than it was last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still some things they got to clean up. They gave up a couple big runs, but for the most part, they've been consistently pretty good. So we got Pearl Heater coming in saying, hi, all. Good to see you here, Pearl.
Yeah, great to see Pearl, one of our favorites in here. Also, we got, I just wanted to say hello to, oh gosh, where'd he go? Roy Osborne, of course. Good evening, Scott, Nick, and Carl. Guns be tougher to win the next game. Going to be tougher to win the next game, but it can be done. Yeah, out of the next three, this is probably your toughest game. Now, that said, I really don't know what to make of this Chargers team, Carl. I mean, they've had the bye week. They've had a lot of injuries, but their two victories are against a Bryce Young final start Chargers or Panthers team, which was horrific out there. I thought everybody but Bryce Young in that game actually played okay for the Panthers. And then they beat the Raiders team who, I mean, not looking very good either. Their losses were against the Steelers, who Denver, common opponent. Denver also lost to them. The common opponent of the Raiders as well. And then the other game was the Chiefs. But the Chiefs, I mean, they looked pretty good. I think last night was the best Chiefs game they've had all season. But they were five offensive plays in, and they lost their really go-to guy in the offense in Rice after that Mahomes interception and tackle of Rice. So that was kind of a weird game as well, only winning 17-10 or losing 17-10. That Chiefs defense is for real. It's kind of Patrick Mahomes is all of a sudden taking that Tom Brady path with the elite offensive line and elite defense and just managing the games. Mm-hmm. If it wins, it wins, right? But yeah, it's a, I still just don't know where this Chargers team is at. And I was flabbergasted. I think it was you in our group chat, Carl, said that the Chargers are 3-point favorites coming into this game. Maybe, yeah, that's, that shocks me. I mean, not that I'm buying Denver fully yet, you know, five game sample size. I'm buying the defense, but I think the offense is erratic, inefficient enough right now that they're, every team is going to be in every game against them, because I just can't see them driving the football consistently against anybody and scoring points. But 3 points seems like a lot for a Denver home game. Chargers are coming off a bye. That's a benefit for them. But I don't know. I feel like this game is much more of a neutral site. I'd buy the Chargers -3, but an at home Denver game, I think it's a closer to a pick 'em than a 3 to the Chargers.
Yeah, that's where I would be. And talk about somebody to pick. We got Cody W coming super chat saying Cooper is stock up and Sternod doing okay, thankfully. Sternod, I mean, I know we usually do a stock up, stock down show here a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about it. I was probably going to put him on my stock up list. For him to step in for a captain, and really he's been great in coverage. He's been great in helping up in the run game. I mean, his downhill ability is something that he did not have when he first came into the league. Yeah. I've been very, very impressed with him so far. And, you know, I'm not saying move on from Singleton for next year, but I am saying I like Sternod for the possibility of being a starter next to him moving forward. You know, maybe you're not bringing back a couple of those other guys that you've had around and giving Sternod a real chance to actually become the starter moving forward.
Yeah, Sternod has done shockingly well for somebody who hasn't played on the defense for defensive snaps for two or three years outside of preseason. Denver was obviously really trying to gather insurance after the Singleton move, you know, bringing in Quan Alexander, bringing in Zach Cunningham as well, who are still practice squad. I don't know if they've been elevated or not, but overall, I mean, I think they've done enough. Just given how Denver approached the room, they had these, you know, they had Barton on the roster. They had Sternod on the roster, and they still were talking about not being happy with the room. So I do worry how sustainable this is. But sometimes guys are just gamers. You know, it's sometimes it's practice or whatever is not great, and then they're in the game and it's a different person. So we'll see. I mean, Chernod's always been a pretty good special teams player, and sounds like he's a great locker room guy as well. Pretty fun guy, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I got to ask you, this came up today. With how Denver plays their defense, they're so aggressive up front. One of the blitz happiest teams in the NFL. Now, granted, that kind of stepped away last week. We were winning a lot more four-man pressures, which was great. But somebody who is definitely a draft bust became available at the linebacker room in Devin White, former Raider, right? Did the Raiders? No, excuse me, the Buccaneers took him. Yeah. Tampa took him because they took Clelin Ferrell at four. Man, talk about two bad picks there. But Devin White. Now, I'm not saying Devin White's been good. He's kind of been like a dog chasing cars out there a lot of times. But for somebody who can be more of a, for Denver, a position, a team that's looking for bodies at linebacker still, especially on the practice squad, and how aggressive they are with their front, how much they're blitzing, just bringing Devin White in to the practice squad, if he's available for that. He was on the Eagles practice squad, obviously he was available, and having maybe him, somebody who can be a mug linebacker, you know, come up to the A gap. If you're going to play third down, Devin White as a blitzer is still pretty good. Not asking him to cover, not asking him to read defense really, but like a blitz piece, maybe something to watch with how Denver specifically plays defense.
I'd be willing. I mean, at this point, he's going to be coming for a vet minimum kind of deal. Yep. So, I mean, it's not a ton of money. Might as well just bring him in and just have, like you said, more bodies. And at least you can have maybe one of those vet guys possibly emerge if you need him. You know, yeah. Strnad, he's playing himself into that position of getting to keep the job. You know, you don't want to rock the boat and destroy what they have going right now.
It's honestly why, more competition for Alexander slash Cunningham than it is right. Welch, Barton, and Strnad.
Right. No, I'm with you there. And so, yeah, I mean, like you said, he's got a talent. He would fit some of what the Broncos like to do on defense. You know, his best skill, it's not – if you're asking him to have instincts and know where he needs to be going on the field, he's going to struggle. But the way Tampa Bay used him, they said, hey, we know you are a missile. We're going to launch you at the line of scrimmage, and you're going to go make a big play. And he was great at that. You know, when you've got a great linebacker next to him who is one of the more instinctual guys, and Levante David, that kind of guy can work really well. Because you're just saying, like I said, you, A-gap, boom, go right there, go hit that guy. And, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, like that was a 1-2 combo at linebacker that was just working perfect against each other or with each other. And so, yeah, I'm for it. It's a low cost, probably still a low reward, but just because of the injuries, you probably need more bodies just to make sure to have some competition.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know with how Denver plays that attack in front. I thought it would be at least interesting to talk about. I mean, if he wants to go elsewhere, he's looking for more money or whatever, or if he's a problem. I don't know if he's been a problem at all. I mean, I know he loves riding horses, right? I remember that at LSU. That's maybe to ride the Broncos horse, and that'd be part of the deal. Thunder. Jason, as long as you're not messing with the raccoons. Jason Kopp comes in and says, during the game, they showed the stats through the first five games between Bo and Elway, and Bo had better numbers. Jason, I'm happy, but Bo next first Broncos rookie quarterback to win three games in a row. But this to me is like comparing dead ball baseball statistics to the steroid era. You look at the baseline of what passing football was in 1983 compared to 2024, and your 25th best passer this season is probably going to be close to your top three back in 1983. So just for not the efficiency stats, but just the volume stats. So games changed a lot. I always think of there was a graphic when the Cincinnati Bengals played the Colts when Andy Dalton was, I think, in his third year, and they showed Andy Dalton's first 3 years next to Peyton Manning's. Andy Dalton had better stats than Peyton Manning's first 3 years. Okay. But that doesn't mean anything because how much the game, even during that time, had changed drastically to favor the pass game. So it's cool. It's always fun when they show that graphic. Does it mean he's going to be John Elway or better than John Elway? Absolutely not. I mean, right. Maybe he is, but that doesn't mean that for sure. Not the five games that we've seen so far.
Statistically, good chance he's probably going to be better than John Elway. Like touchdown to interception ratio, those kind of things. Like you said, there was a big difference in how they played football. There wasn't this like 5-to-1 touchdown interception ratio that you see some of the players having today. Yeah. It was, if you're better than 1-to-1, you're having a pretty darn good season back then. And I know that's not the only stat for quarterbacks by any means, but it's more of like, we could watch Elway and know, hey, like, we're watching a legend. Bo Nix, watching him right now, we're not watching a legend yet. He's still got a lot of things to get figured out before he ever gets into that kind of conversation. And we got Karen Haynes coming in saying, we truly owned Raiders Sunday. I'm enjoying this. Yeah, you know, it's one of those, you don't realize how good it is until it's gone. And having 4 years of the Raiders beating us straight every game, yeah, this victory feels a little bit sweeter than other Raider victories in the past. Just to get that monkey off your back, it's kind of like last year with the Chiefs game. You know, it just, there's a lot of pressure on these games that didn't need to be there. And so it's nice that that's over. Broncos can move forward, and they got a division win.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Karen coming in, says, we truly own the Raiders this Sunday. I'm enjoying this. Also says, good evening. Excited to watch the Broncos right now. Sucks when it's not fun. Yeah, I mean, even though the offense is still sometimes frustrating to watch, there's been glimpses. They've had explosive plays. I think Denver is maybe, I don't have the stats exactly in front of me. They're much better in explosive plays than I thought they would be this season on the offensive side of the ball. Now, granted, their efficiency has not been great, but, you know, that's okay. Let me see. I tweet too much, Carl. There's too much fun stuff with the raccoon picture that I posted earlier. But Denver's offensive EPA per play, they're 26th. Success rate, they're 26th. But explosive play rate, they're 12th in the NFL. And passing offense, they're 28th in the EPA per play, 29th in success rate, but 9th in explosive play rate. So just got to be better down to down overall. But hey, the explosive stuff is there, and that's exciting. Maybe that's also a testament to how much explosive passing is down in the league right now as well, right? Doesn't feel like the Broncos are hitting haymaker after haymaker to be 12th overall in explosive pass plays, but in 9th overall in explosive, 12th in explosive plays overall, and then 9th in explosive pass plays. But maybe that, again, there's just less explosive passing across the league right now. But it's definitely more fun to watch, and complimentary football too. I mean, I said it earlier, I'd be shocked if Denver didn't have one of the best 5 average starting field positions of any team in any game so far this season, just because of how much the defense was clamped and how good the return game was for Denver as well. No penalties, right? No penalties on the special teams that I can recall also.
Yeah. Marvin Mims making a sighting for the Broncos and making a
play. Did I say stock up?
Yeah. Stock up? Yeah. It was a good game for him. And they used him how I was hoping that they would start using him a little bit. I was really hoping that they'd watch how the Raiders used Trey Tucker on a lot of those end arounds and just using that speed athleticism to go get a few extra yards and make teams at least have to think about it. And the Broncos hadn't really done that yet this year. They did a little bit of it last year. It's a very little success. But they finally brought it out in this one, and he had a couple really nice runs. And then, like you said, return game. The only thing that I would say in a very big negative towards him, the almost touchdown pass to Franklin. If you go back and watch that play and you kind of keep an eye on the eyes of Bo Nix, Mims was his first read. And Mims was kind of running, wasn't a slant, but he, I don't know, it was a terrible route. Like, if you watch his route, it was terrible. And about halfway through, he just kind of stopped in the middle of the field. And then he kind of jogged, and he was all by himself. If he had really ran that route to its fullest, he would have been wide open for an easy touchdown. And so Then all of a sudden he kind of turned back, and no, it was a good throw to Franklin. Should have been a touchdown, all that kind of stuff. But Mims was that first read. And so that's the only real negative I have towards him in this past game.
Yeah. And that's a good point, Jason. You're saying that just poor starts don't mean very much.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right now, what they've done in college probably has more value than the 5-game sample size we've seen from the rookies, but trending in the right way. And there goes my, not unplugged, but I'm here still. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
I don't know. But boom. Weird. I need to order that new cord. I need to find that one. Scott's saying, just, there's no time when you're sick and your wife's sick and the baby's sick and you're dealing with car stuff and doctor's appointments and all that stuff. So we're here. Moving forward, I did want to talk obviously about the Chargers as well. We kind of touched on them earlier. This is a team that right now, statistically, has a better defense than the Denver Broncos. Carl, can you believe that? I mean, obviously Denver's played a tougher schedule, I'd say, but you know, the Chargers did play Kansas City. But Denver's done it 5 games, where Chargers have done it 4. And I don't know. I'm not really buying what the Chargers are selling as far as a top 3 defense. Now, do I think they've turned around a lot compared to Staley those years to what we're seeing right now with Jesse Minter? Absolutely. They just feel like they have a much better foundation, much more better technique. But that is a top 2 defense along with the top 3 along with the Broncos and the Vikings. I don't know if I buy that.
I'm with you. I mean, their front 4 are they're a good unit. I mean, you got Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa. Those are 2 good guys, probably on the backside of their careers, not quite at their peak anymore, but they both looked really good in both the run and the pass. Interior wise, they've got a couple guys that are stepping up in the run game compared to what they've been the last few years. Linebacker wise, they're okay. Secondary.
I like their 3rd year guy from Washington State. Deion Henley. He played safety in college, then transferred, I think, at UNLV or Nevada, and then went to linebacker at WSU. And he looks like somebody who pretty good linebacker. I think there's still some question with the run defense, but fluid, looks like he's getting the game. So I just want to give a shout out to Henley. He flashed when I've watched the Chargers.
Yeah, no, he's fine. And their secondary, I mean, you still got Derwin James, Sante Samuel. Both those guys are really great players. Christian Fulton at the other cornerback position, he's okay. So I'm not trying to take anything away from their secondary. But like I said, I don't think they've played the who's who of offenses at this point. You know, a lot of them have been pretty putrid against other teams. And so this will be a decent test. I don't expect the Broncos offense to go out there and blow them away by any means. But I also don't expect the Chargers offense to take off against the Broncos either, because they've kind of been pretty hit and miss so far. Their offensive line is banged up. Their weapons are pretty new. You know, they really did a reworking with that of Keenan Allen gone, Mike Williams gone. And so they're still trying to build that chemistry, kind of like what the Broncos are doing right now, trying to build that chemistry. So it probably will be a pretty low scoring game. You know, the Broncos, to protect Bo Nix and probably whoever's starting at right tackle, they're going to run a lot in this one. And I'm fine with that. You know, just use that, use your play action. You know, that's what I loved in this last game. They used a lot more play action with Bo Nix under center. He seems to be getting more and more comfortable with being there.
That's great.
And so if that would be my game plan going into this, run the ball like crazy, throw in some play action with a couple deep shots, get Bo Nix moving, you know, running some bootleg plays, because right now I would say one of the biggest weaknesses for Bo Nix is feeling comfortable in the pocket. And that's a lot of rookie quarterbacks. You know, the pocket gets a little bit more cramped in the NFL than it does in college. College, you could have an entire wall in front of you, which Oregon did, where you could just sit back there for 4 or 5 seconds. And wasn't that Bo Nix did that a lot, but I'm just saying you could feel a lot more comfortable knowing your guys are going to hold up most games really well. And so, like I said, get him on the move. That seems to be where he's most comfortable. Let him be able to use his legs when he wants to, if things aren't open down the field. And I think you can come away with a victory if you can stay away from turnovers and stay ahead of the, you know, get positive yards on first down. I think the Broncos have been struggling a little bit with that this year.
Yeah, Denver went, I have the stats here, not good on 3rd down in this game against the Raiders, actually. 3 for 12. That's not going to get it done against a lot of teams. Luckily, they went 3 for 4 in the red zone, 3 for 3 in goal to go situation, scoring touchdowns. But 3 for 12 is not going to get it done. Got to be better on 1st and 2nd down and make it easier. Luckily, it does seem like they have some life with Javonte Williams. And Sean Payton talked today about being confident in the depth that they have on the offensive line. Well, it's going to get tested. Obviously, you mentioned Joey Bosa. I think he missed the game against the Chiefs. He's missed 1 game this season with an injury, but they're coming off the bye. He should be good to go. We'll get the injury report tomorrow. Khalil Mack still very good, and they're going to test the Broncos a lot. So I think this is a game that hopefully situationally flow wise, you have close to a 50-50 split with the run to pass, as you talked about. Even if it's not super efficient running the football, I think you got to do that just to limit the dropbacks, hopefully make the play actions more effective when you go to them, and protect your, not just protect the defensive, or not just protect Bo Nix, but protect the offensive line as well. So yeah, that is going to be tough. As far as the Chargers on offense, they have been pretty poor this season. I mean, right now, if you look at the advanced stats with the quarterback, I mean, Justin Herbert is right there with Bo Nix in the EPA per play. Their offensive line, they've had Joe Alt injuries. Rashawn Slater's had injury as well. They're two blue chip caliber draft picks at tackle. And they're passing weapons. I know they took a first round wide receiver 2 years ago, but he seems more like a third round kind of weapon piece right now. Their best guy in the pass game, and it's not even close, is Ladd McConkey. And if you have just one guy in the passing game, good luck against this defense, because Patrick Surtain is going to eliminate them.
Yeah, yeah. Quentin Johnson has not been good. He's had a couple really nice plays, but that's kind of what he was in college too, where he would have incredible plays and then drop the next two, three passes.
Yep.
And he's, you know, I think the Chargers were kind of hoping that they could get the bad out of him and really bring out the good, and it just hasn't happened at this point. And so you're right, McConkey has been easily their best wide receiver, the guy that Justin Herbert trusts the most. And so, yeah, continue doing what you've been doing, Broncos. Stick Patrick Surtain on him and say, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. You're not catching a pass today. And let's see how that offense can handle that. You know, and like I said, their run game has not been anything to write home about. J.K. Dobbins has had a couple long runs, but otherwise it's kind of a lot of 0, 1, 2 yards, and then might bust off a big one. And really, I mean, a lot of teams have been that way this year. Offenses have just really struggled a lot. And the Chargers fall into that category. So like I said, probably a low scoring game. Team that makes the fewest mistakes comes out on top in this one. You know, if you're going to get, you need a play from your defense or special teams to really kind of turn the tide. And the Broncos cannot start out like they did in this last one. You can't get down 10-0, because I don't think the Chargers are going to make as many big mistakes that we saw. Go ahead.
They're edge rushers too. I mean, if you have a offensive line that's dinged up, you're playing your fourth offensive tackle. Yeah, fourth, fifth, whatever, because you lost Bailey, Palaszczuk, McGlinchey. So, yeah, your fifth offensive tackle out there in Parrott, who, I mean, maybe you'll see more six offensive line looks too. I mean, I'm a big fan of that. I think we've seen more six offensive line looks this season than many years past. I mean, if you want to get advantage and make them play heavy box, dictate what type of personnel they're calling, call the six offensive line. I mean, how much of a difference is that going to make compared to Kroll or Atkins out there? I mean, I'm sorry, but like, right, you're not getting a lot of dynamism from those guys. So throw in the 6-1, pound the ball, and then hit him with a play action over the top. You do have some big play receivers still, all the same. So it's going to be, I'm expecting a low possession game, a lot of grinding the clock, and it is going to feel, I think Harbaugh is going to feel right at home. This is going to feel like a Big Ten game, probably overall. Hopefully the elements are a little bit better than some of those October, November games out in there in the Big Ten. But it does worry me, because I said the same thing going into that Pittsburgh game as well, right? And Denver obviously didn't do enough in that one, but seems like Denver does have at least some things they know that work. There's a little bit more confidence on the offensive side of the ball. Still has a long way to go, but it's not reeling like it was, where they were just searching for answers the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. There's at least a couple decent sized plays happening, and the run game has improved dramatically from those first couple weeks to what it is now. You know, Javonte Williams, we haven't talked about him a ton yet. Great game again. Mm-hmm. I mean, over 100 yards total between rushing and receiving, running hard to get the yards, picked up that big first down on a long third down screenplay. Again, great in the pass blocking when they needed him to step up and stop a blitzing linebacker, whatever it was. He had a great game. So I'm loving that the Broncos are finally getting a little bit of confidence going there. You know, if you actually eliminate Bo Nix's runs, I think they averaged like 5 yards a carry in this last game.
Yeah, I mean,
Bo Nix, his running wasn't great in this last one. He had one really good run. The rest of them were pretty darn terrible. So honestly, though, I'd probably try to get a little more of Bo Nix running in the sense of like actual designed plays. Get some of those, make a Joey Bosa have to make a decision. Am I going to help out with Javonte Williams running up the middle, or am I going to care about Bo Nix getting to the edge? Run some of that at him to kind of get him flat-footed and try to take him out of the play as much as you possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to follow. The other thing that the Chargers, just standing out, looking at them, kind of like coming in with that Raiders game. Now, granted, a small sample size, it turned out not to be the case in that game on Sunday. But the Chargers so far this season are the team with the least amount of penalties called against them this season. Now, granted, they've played one less game than a lot of teams, but 19 so far this entire season. So they're a team that is not going to shoot themselves in the foot that way. Maybe we'll get some classic, you know, Chargers shooting themselves in the foot turnovers, but, you know, they're not going to be given a lot of free first downs probably, or putting their offense in first and 20s from a hold, or, you know, second and one. Oh, we had a false start. Now it's second and six. Completely changes what you can do. So I'm not expecting as many gimmies as Denver got last week. Now, Grant, but again, Raiders came in as one of the least penalized teams, and
right,
that changed quickly against Denver. So when it's a small sample size like that, you can't say it's too much of a trend.
Yeah. I mean, we had seen the Raiders under their new coach. They had been going towards this trend of less penalties. And so, and the Jets had a lot of uncharacteristic penalties. So the Broncos have been getting a little bit fortunate with some of those things popping up. But I think part of that also is the defense, with how much they're coming after the quarterback. Like, you've got that offensive line thinking, okay, who's coming, who's not coming. And they're not always paying attention to everything else that's going on. And so they're trying to get that extra little step, whatever it may be, you know, the Juwan Taylor step is what I like to call it. And they're getting called on it. They don't play for the Chiefs. They got to realize they can't get away with it. And yeah. So, yeah, I do think part of it is just because the defense has been playing so good and so aggressive. Teams get a little more nervous when they come up to the line of scrimmage against the Broncos.
Yeah. And it's going to be a tough one. I mean, we kind of talked about it earlier. Now, granted, the sample size is small. The Chargers haven't played a lot of dominant teams other than the Chiefs, but losing Rice, you know, five offensive plays in, just, I think that's the only guy they're running the offense through. And then you lose him, you kind of have just a grasp for straws. They had that one deep touchdown to Worthy. But I don't know, when you have that one guy and you lose him that early, it's just, you just try to grasp and win that game. So I'm not tossing it out, but I'm saying it's kind of an outlier too. The other thing about the Chargers, we talked about this Denver team needing to be patient, and maybe it's going to be a little bit of, you know, running into a wall for a little bit. But I mean, we saw this with the Chargers under Brandon Staley. They were god awful at stopping the run. Carl, this season through the first five games of the season, they're the number one rush EPA defense in the entire NFL at a negative 0.242 EPA per rush. The Broncos are down there at seventh, so they're pretty good too. And then they're also, kind of goes hand in hand, of course, but second in success rate. So it's a pretty darn good Chargers run defense. Now, will that continue? Remains to be seen, but for the four-game sample size, they've stopped the run, and that doesn't bode well for a team that's going to want to protect their rookie quarterback with a backup offensive line and needs to be better at avoiding third and longs. This is a tough matchup for the Broncos offense based on the trends.
Right. And I mean, I'd say the same thing for the Chargers. It's a tough matchup for them and their offense. Yeah. And so that's why, if you can hit the under, probably, if you're a betting person out there, probably hit the under in this one. And we have a Chargers fan in here. S.A. Ross coming in with a $5 super, saying, Chargers fan here, this is going to be a low-scoring, ugly game. Please no injuries on either side, and let the best team win. Take care, guys. Ross, you're making it hard to hate the Chargers. You know, this is why, you know, I hate the Raiders. I hate the Chiefs. Chargers, I'm kind of like, they're here. Yeah. I mean, I still hate them because they're a divisional opponent. But no, I appreciate you coming in, tuning in, and you're right. This is going to be an ugly game, probably. 17-10, kind of like what they played against the Chiefs there. 13-6, what we played against the Steelers. Something like that. First team to 15 wins this one.
I mean, maybe 13. I don't know. It's going to be, if you get two touchdowns, call it. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, I don't really, no offense to the Chargers fans, but they're not like a fan base or an organization that had enough success where they have like those really homer, you know, auxiliary fans. Now, granted, they have some super fans, no doubt. And I'm a big Justin Herbert fan, too. You know, I don't hate the Chargers at all. They just feel like, you know, kind of like, oh, good on you guys. Hopefully we always split with them, too. It doesn't matter how good or bad we are.
Yeah.
Girl, like it's 1-1. But before we wrap it on up here, I got to ask, obviously not a must win game, but like, I just keep thinking about this with the way, you know, Derek Carr probably out for that Thursday night game. And thanks again, S.A. Ross, for coming in and being cordial in here. We always appreciate that. We're not here. We're not the host in here to, you know, just talk crap or anything like that. You know, we like the game without a doubt. Try to keep it academic in that way. But I just think, man, if the Broncos can pull off this win against the Chargers, sit there at 4-2 then with your next two games at the Saints, that'll be tough. They have a good defense, too. Right. But with Carr out, who knows? And then Panthers, I mean, you really have a chance to have the driver's seat for a playoff spot. Now, I'm not saying win the AFC West. I mean, I'm not saying also not win the AFC West when you're out of defense playing as well as Denver's. Anything can happen. You're going to be in every game. But this Chargers game really feels like it could be a fork in the road from, oh, we're feisty. Like, we got a shot to make the playoffs and be a tough out. Or probably going to muddle around 500 this season. It just feels like it's, and it's not going to be obviously, you know, for sure one way or the other, but it just feels that way to me coming into this game.
Well, I mean, there's so much that's on the line. Like I said, divisional opponent, you get to 4-2 instead of being 3-3. Like that, just, there's a big difference in how you look at that. And then looking ahead to the next two games, tiebreakers, you know, last year, I think that was one of my big things when we had that 5-game winning streak. It was great. But the Broncos were not looking good in a lot of the tiebreakers at the end of the season. Yep. You know, a lot of those wins were against some NFC teams or teams that were, you know, like the Chiefs that were already going to be better than us for the division. So getting this kind of tiebreaker over the Chargers, you got the tiebreaker over the Jets. Unfortunately, Pittsburgh has theirs on right now with the head-to-head. But you feel a little bit better about that when you come to the end of the season. If you have the same record, you got a better chance there. So, no, I agree. I think this is a big one, especially being at home.
Divisional,
you know, you've got to, yeah, divisional game at home. You've got to defend that home field. The Broncos have not been good at defending home field lately. So, yeah, I think this is a big one to show that the Broncos are actually a legit team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've won three in a row. That's great. But this is where you've got a little bit of success. Can you handle it to actually move forward?
And if they lose also, it doesn't mean they're going to be relegated, but it just, I mean, again, you're sitting there at 3-2. 4-2 is a lot different than 3-3. And being sole place with the head-to-head for now, with your home wins against the Raiders and the Chargers, that makes you, you know, you have a pretty firm grasp then at that point on that second spot. And that gives you a good chance to earn a playoff berth. And it'd be really good to take that monkey off our back, having not made the playoffs since Super Bowl 50. So we'll see what happens there. But man, this feels like a very big game. I am a little bit chafed that the NFL gave the Chargers a bye week coming into this one. But, you know, it is what it is. The Jets also had a mini bye coming into it. It didn't help them. So, you know, you play what you are. You play the schedule in front of you and do the best you can. Epic Gamer comes in before we close on up shop so I can get back to dad duty here and rest my voice for tomorrow morning's shows. I'm hoping the Broncos offense keeps getting better each game. I miss the offense we had when the sheriff was in town. I think the NFL is missing the offense when the sheriff was in town. I mean, the NFL in general, you're not seeing offensive outputs like you did the 2010s through 20. I mean, gosh, what Mahomes was doing prior to last season was unseen before. You know, when there was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce at their heyday. Now it's, yeah, you know, we've had some regression. We'll see how it continues to play out. I mean, what we're seeing from, besides last week, but I mean, Josh Allen had been pretty incredible the first 3 weeks. Joe Burrow, with the weapons that they have out there at Cincinnati, I mean, versus Lamar Jackson, that was the best game of the season so far. I mean, not besides the Broncos winning. All their games are the best when they win. But that Chargers-Bengals game was incredible. What Jaden Daniels is doing. I mean, what Tampa Bay's done other than when they played Denver. Lions as well. I mean, it'd be great if Denver could get there. I still feel like we're multiple pieces away and still very much questioning if Nick's can be that kind of quarterback. I think he can be good. I'm not ready to say, you know, perennial top five in the league kind of guy. Obviously, if anybody is, then, I mean, God bless you. That's your call.
Right. You know, it was great. Peyton Manning was great, obviously. He's always been great. But when you add some weapons like DT, Eric Decker, Wes Welker, Julius Thomas, Knowshon Moreno. Yeah. And you have a decent offensive line in front of him as well. Like, it was just that perfect storm of all the pieces being there to be a great team. Yeah. And you hope that you've got the quarterback now. The offensive line, when healthy, looks pretty darn good. Running game, probably you're going to be looking for a new piece next year at that position. And then, yeah, tight end. Oh my gosh. Like you said, six offensive line is probably almost the base offense right now. It feels like it should be, because those guys are doing almost nothing. They're terrible in the run game, blocking, pass game. When I hear a tight end mention, I'm like, oh yeah, they're on the team.
You know what? I'll push back a little bit. Adam Trautman is a Jag, but like, that's up here compared to anything else we're getting right now. And like, Atkins is a useful piece as well, but they need more dynamism. Although maybe little Jordan Humphrey is kind of a little bit of a tight end wide receiver hybrid, right? So he's getting some of those split big safety looks or big slot looks. So appreciate everyone. We're going to have to wrap it on up here. Thanks to everybody who came in and gave the super chats today and supported us. David Meckelrath, of course, Michael Ronquillo, Cody W. a few times, S.A. Ross, and the Epic Gamer. You guys are great. If you're not in a position to donate, make sure you click the thumbs up on the way in and on the way out. That helps us a heck of a lot as well. And not everybody's obviously in a position to support the show that way, so that's totally fine. Just click the thumbs up on the way out. We'd appreciate that. Make sure you're following Carl on Twitter. He's at Carl Dummer MHH. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. We're over at facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. And as that ticker says there underneath, if you're joining us on YouTube today, please subscribe to Mile High Huddle, like the show, and share on your social media platforms. Carl, since this is your last show until next week, score prediction, then we'll get out.
All right. So I finally broke the streak of not predicting the Broncos right. You know, I picked them to win the first two games they lost, picked the last two to lose, and they won. Finally, I picked them to win. They won. I'm going to pick the Broncos to win this one. It being a home game, I think the Broncos have a lot of momentum going into this one. Everybody feeling pretty good, especially on that defensive side of the ball. Even the offense got a couple things going there in the second half. So I'm going to say Broncos win this one 17-13, with the Broncos being able to especially focus on the run game in the fourth quarter.
That'd be great. I'll hold on to mine for now because I'm not quite ready. I mean, I'll tell you, the Vegas saying Chargers by 3 shocked me enough that I'm like trying to like back up and be like, okay, maybe I'm too much in the hype right now, because that's a big line for Denver at home winning 3 in a row in a Chargers team that I don't buy. But I don't know. We'll see. My heart is telling me Broncos. My head is telling me that -3 for the Chargers has me reevaluating things. Never reevaluating things. Michael Ronquillo, great show tonight. Nick and Carl on building the Broncos. Go Bo Broncos. Go Michael. Great way to end the show. We appreciate all you guys. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you again tomorrow morning. Until then, choose kindness and compassion. And of course, go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.